So we're doing Gemara in Yevamos. Daf Ayin Amar Aleph. Really, Perek Ha'orel, it's called. Okay? Ha'orel. So, there's a halacha that an Orel is not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach. Okay? Nor is he allowed to eat Truma. Okay? So the question is, what exactly is an Orel? Okay? So an Orel literally means someone who's uncircumcised, right? Okay? So he's uncircumcised. So Rashi says in the Mishnah, I don't know, because the Mishnah says, let's look at the Mishnah. It says, Orel b'chol ha'tameim. So an Orel, and everybody who's tame, lo yochel b'truma, they can't eat truma. Yes. Really? I don't know, that's a little strange. Maybe the halacha is an orel. It's a Mishnah in a Yevamos, Ayin Amar Aleph. An orel, an uncircumcised person, who cannot eat from the Korban Pesach, and he cannot eat truma. Okay, truma is food which is some sort of sanctified food which is designated for a Kohanim to eat. So if he's a person who doesn't have bris milah, he's not allowed to eat from this, from these things. So the question is, what exactly is the definition of an orel? I mean, the plain definition is uncircumcised, but does it matter the conditions of him being uncircumcised? So the Rashi on the Mishnah says, and this is not, it doesn't ever agree with this, but the Rashi says that it means a kohen shemesu echav machmas milah. So it means a Kohen whose brothers died because of Mila. So there, I guess it's called a hemophiliac or something, I believe, bleed to death. So he has brothers, a number of brothers, I guess three or something, who all died from Bris Mila. So therefore it runs in the family that it's not healthy, it's not safe for him to get Bris Mila. So he never got Bris Mila. So he's an Orel, he's uncircumcised. Okay? Not through any fault of his own, but bottom line is, he's uncircumcised. And that's a halacha that an orel is not allowed to eat from Korban Pesach. Okay, the way Rashi interprets. Okay? That's the way Rashi interprets. Now we'll see that, it's not clear that's really defined as an orel. And in order to, Tosos agrees, and there's a Tosos Yishanim who disagrees. Before we're ready to dive into them, I think we have to look at, there's a Gemara on Daf, where is that Daf? On Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph. Next page. It basically asks a question. It's like, like the 10th to last skinny line, I guess. It says, Ba'i Rav Chama Mar Okva, Katan Orel, Mahu Lesocha B'Shema Shal Truma. So if you have a Katan, a baby who's uncircumcised, so it's before the 8th day of his life, okay, a newborn baby, could you anoint him with oil of Truma, right? Could you anoint him with oil of truma? Okay, do you say arla shelo bizmana ma'akva or lo ma'akva? So do you say that his arlas, his state of being uncircumcised, prior to the time of the mitzvah of circumcision, does that render him, prevent him from being allowed to use this truma? Or not? That's the Gemara's question. And the Gemara basically never resolves it. Okay, the Gemara doesn't know. At the end of the day, it doesn't resolve it. Okay? Yeah. Let's see here. I think it resolves it. One second. didn't really get to that. But that, I think someone said that it's not resolved in that case. But the question is, so what's that question? Maybe we could try to understand that question first, and then the Rishonim discuss whether that question is comparable to this question of a guy who is older, but the reason why he didn't have a bris milah is because it was dangerous. Okay, so why don't we take up that question first? Is a guy, if a baby who's under 8 days old and didn't have a bris milah, is he considered an RL? Does he have the status of an RL such that he's not allowed to eat from from the carbon and whatever? Give me 1 second. Yeah, let me just to give some background, okay? Just some background. So, the Gemara a little higher up on the page. Are there any questions, by the way, before we go further? Any questions on what's going on here? Is everything clear? Okay, even someone on the speakerphone could say, yeah, that would still, Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says like this, is that the Torah says an Arel is not allowed to eat from a Karban Pasach, and also a Ben Nechar. A Ben Nechar is basically a person who, gives up the Torah, denies God. Okay, a Jew who denies God. He becomes distant, like a Nechar, like a Nachri. He gives up the Torah. He says, I had enough of this. So he's not allowed to eat from a Karban Pasach, and also an Arel is not allowed to eat from a Karban Pasach, an uncircumcised person. And the Torah teaches us, the Pasuk, there's two Pesukim, one which says, Kol Arel Le'echobo, and Kol Ben Eichel Le'echobo. So the Gemara says, in the fourth line, on Ayin Alma from Aleph, V'itzurach Mechtav Arel, V'itzurach Mechtav Kol Ben Eichel. It has to teach you that both of them are not allowed to eat it. Why? The Kasavach Man Arel. If you didn't just said Arel Mishum Dema'is, because it's disgusting. Okay, a person without Arlas, a person who is uncircumcised, is considered disgusting. Philosophically disgusting, I guess. Aval Ben Nechar, but a person who just gave up the Torah, the Loma'as, who's not disgusting, Emalo, I'd say he's okay, he's allowed to eat from the Karban Pasach. And if it told you a person who gave up the Torah, because in his heart he's not directed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but an Arel who is in his heart directed towards God, he just couldn't do Mila, let's say because his brothers, because it was dangerous, I'd say he could eat from it. So Tzricha. Right? So it's telling us that it's a funny back and forth, but it's saying is an Ara, a Ben Nechar, he's saying he can't eat from the Karban Pasach because his heart is not to God, which has to be explained, but fine, but you'd say about an Arel, his heart is to God. And the opposite is, if I'd say an Arel, I'd say the reason why he can't eat from the Karban Pasach is because he's Ma'as, he's disgusting, whatever that means. So he's disgusting, so that's why he can't eat from it. But Ben Nechar, he's not disgusting. Right, a guy who gives up the Torah, he's not disgusting. Why not? So maybe we could try to explain that a little bit. I mean, the Gemara is trying to explain these things somewhat. Right? 1 second here. There's another thing about the Ma'as. 1 second here. Yeah, so what do you guys think about that? Any comments about that? By the way, there's a pasuk which says, "All goyim are arelim." Yeah, the goyim are called arelim. It's like a distinction. What's that?
So whatever that definition is, it would be very hard to apply that to a baby that hasn't reached the age of Mila yet.
That's true. That is true. You mean to say it's disgusting?
It doesn't seem so much easier if it's after the day either, would it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point, especially if you say it's that, especially if it's because it was dangerous, right? If you say the reason why you didn't get Mila is because it was dangerous, right? That's also hard to say, but it seemingly that is, at least according to Rashi. So why don't we start with the easier way, the easier side? Is if a guy is a Ben Echar, he's not allowed to eat from Karban Pesach. If in his heart he gives up Torah, he denies God, he's not allowed to eat from Karban Pesach. So why? Because he says, Ein libo l'shamayim. His heart is not to Shemayim. So what do you see from that? What's how do you explain that?
It's
not so terrible. No, I don't think it means that. It means his heart is not directed towards God. As opposed to the Arel, who in his heart is directed to God, he just has an illness that he can't do bris milah, but internally he's fine. But what's that? It's a strange idea. What does that mean? Because his heart isn't to God, therefore therefore he can't eat from the Karban Pesach. Like, what's the... Why not? Or what's, you know, I don't know if why not is exactly what I'm asking. But what do you see? How would you explain that, halachically?
I guess it seems like you need a certain type of gavra to participate in Karban Pesach.
Okay, good. What kind of gavra is that?
It's someone who's makabal and mokas shemayim.
Okay. Someone who accepts God. Yeah, right. It does seem that way, right? Right. I mean, it's interesting. So apparently Karban Pesach is not just like any other...
Achila.
Any other what? Achila, correct. It's like you're eating, like it is tied in with like it removing Avodah Zarah, right? Accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like this is like a defining Karban of Klal Yisrael. And saying he is a person who's not connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, internally, he's like not fit for even eating Karban Pesach. Right? You're right, it needs a gavra. It's like a philosophical achila, if you will. And it's like if a gavra is removed from that whole framework because he has no connection to God, then he's simply not subject. He can't. It would be like violating the Karban Pesach. The Karban Pesach, his whole identity is defining our relationship with God. Removal from idolatry and the service of God, he's like intrinsically removed from being able to participate in eating the Karban Pesach. Right? But you'd say that in Arel, just because he doesn't have bris milah, so who cares? But he's internally, he's a tzaddik. Right? So why shouldn't he be able to eat from the Karban Pesach? Right? Okay, so that's right, that's good. Okay, so then, so what happens? So comes along the Pasuk and teaches us, no, an Arel also can't, right? An Arel is also not allowed to. So why is an Arel not to? How are we supposed to interpret that? I mean, an Arel, why? So it says because he's ma'as, he's disgusting. I mean, what is that supposed to mean? But you know what? It reminds me, there's a Rambam, actually, it reminds me of. Hold on a second. I forgot about this. Give me a second, I think. Does it matter, you know what I'm talking about or no? Rambam's talking about the significance of Rismila. I think he says, hold on. But yeah, he says like this. This is the second class Rama in Hilchos Megillah, the Gimel Chas. Me'usa hi ha'arla. Disgusting is arla. Shenizganu b'ha'goyim. That goyim are like degraded with it. Shenemar ki kol ha'goyim ha'reilam. All goyim ha'reilam. The gedola hi ha'mila. And mila is so great. Shelo nikra Avram avinu sholem ad shemal. Avinu wasn't considered complete until he had mila. Shenemar ha'sa'ach l'fanei ve'esamim. Right, that be go before me and be complete. Vethna brisi meni amenecha. Right, and it says so much so a person who denies the bris of Ram and he leaves himself as an RL, then even if he has Torah ma'isim tov me'elecha yiklam haba. Okay, so that's a further point. Yeah. Okay. So he's saying is it's like. So what does it mean? He's saying is that he's disgusting. It's Mila, a guy who is no Mila is like a ma'os, is disgusting. I mean, why do you say a guy who denies God is disgusting? Right? Right? The thing is, you might say that if I only told you that Arel can't eat carbon pasal, he'd say, oh, because Arlis is disgusting. Right? So uncircumcised is disgusting. But a guy who denies God, oh, that's fine. He could do it. I mean, why is an Arel more disgusting than, right? What would I say? What's the sense of that?
Maybe the thing is that it's like it's defining what the appearance of like of a Jew is on the most basic level. Like not only is like being is the idea like a philosophical, a set of philosophical ideas.
Right.
It's also a certain like identity in terms of appearance.
Right.
So Bris Mila is giving like the most basic set of an appearance of the Jew. So yes, there are going to be very rare situations where someone can't get a Mila, but in terms of a general rule, like that's the appearance of a Jew. So therefore, if you have an Orla, then it's just the immediate reaction is one of disgust.
Right. Yeah. Right. Good. Right, it's Moss. Right, so you'd say that like Karban Pesach doesn't tolerate a guy who has the body of a guy, so to speak, whose physical body reflects Arlos, the antithesis of Klal Yisrael. Right, to be able to eat from Pesach, you have to look like a Jew. You have to physically, you have to manifest the properties of a Jew, and that allows you to be able to participate in this Karban. But if physically you're defective, so to speak, then you're not fit for the garbon. But look, if internally, physically you have a mila, but internally, fine, that's internally, that doesn't, you'd say, like, disgraces the carbon. Like, the chafts of the carbon is disgraced to have a guy without a bris mila to come eat from it. But what's in his head is in his head. That's like a different point. So they're like two different...
Does this only apply, by the way, to... who can eat from the carbon Pesach? Is that only males that can eat from it?
No. That's a good point, but no. That's fine, because women don't have, aren't subject to circumcision.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to reconcile the analysis then with a woman. Like, in other words, if a male can't eat from the carbon Pesach because he doesn't have that manifest appearance,
right,
the Jew, that
right,
doesn't seem to apply right with females, right?
Right, that's a good point. Yeah, I think that the answer is that I was being a little imprecise, but the answer is that it's saying is a person with a foreskin is the person who has the body of a guy. And that person, his body is antithetical to the Jewish body. And that's what like, contradicts Karban Pesach, which is like the carbon which defines like Judaism. So it's not that you're right. It's not that he has to have the body of a Jew, because you're right. There's no difference in the body of a Jewish woman or of a Jewish woman, as much as it's like the presence of the arla, which is the foreskin, is defined as ma'as, as disgusting. It's the body which is denial antithetical to Klal Yisrael, and that removes him from the Karban Pesach. But that's
yeah. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's the physical. So that's one disqualification from Pesach, if his body is like antithetical to Pesach. And on the other side, there's an idea internally. It's a different pasuk which teaches you that internally, Karban Pesach is like a philosophical achila, and if you don't have a connection to God, then you can't be involved in it. That's not like degrading the object of the Pesach, which goes by like a physically manifest thing. That's just, it's not, he's not an appropriate gavra to be involved in it. They're like two different disqualifications.
So what were you saying? I'm sorry if you said this already. I may have not gotten it. If a baby can't have a bris mila because it would be dangerous because of hemophilia or something like that.
Yeah, we're about to get to that. This is, I just backtracked for a second. Yeah, this is like kind of like prior. I started at the baby, but then I said maybe we should go to this because this is in a certain sense primary. And now,
I was paying attention. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Any other questions so far? Comments? Yeah. I mean, that's kind of, now we're gonna have to see. Okay. This is like kind of the backdrop, but how is this set itself up technically, halachically, is really what we're gonna discuss. So the first question is the baby who is less than 8 days old. Okay? So the baby who is less than 8 days old. Do you say that baby is allowed to use, to be anointed with oil of truma? Let's say. Okay? Because truma is another thing, that an orel, an uncircumcised person, male, is not allowed to have truma, to eat a certain type of food, which is sanctified food. So the question is, what about a baby prior to being eight days old? And at 8 days old is when the obligation kicks in, right? So the Gemara is not sure. So what would be the logic of the two sides?
Well, maybe the question is, if wireless is something that's basically just an anatomical thing that's from birth, and so a kid less than 8 days would have a shame wireless, and the possibility might be, it's when, the chiyuv kind of emerges from mila, and then, or, like, basically when the chiyuv mila is created, that's when it's possible to have wireless, and then that's when it emerges.
Okay. Okay, good. And your analysis?
It would seem like it makes sense at eight days also, because that's really that's where the mila really stems from. The person's kind of rejecting the possibility of doing mila.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Someone else? Okay, so maybe to elaborate a little, does an arel mean, like, there's the presence of a foreskin, right, is intrinsically, like, ma'os, disgusting, the reflective of, like, a certain imperfection or whatever, and therefore that's what prevents you from Pesach and Truma, right? Is it, like, the condition of the foreskin itself, right? It's like some, like a defective, body, if you will. Or do you say, no, it's not the foreskin itself, but it's the failure to perform mitzvahs mila. It's not like the anatomical condition, but it's the fact that God commanded us to remove that anatomical condition. And the failure to do so, the absence of doing mitzvahs milah, which an RL is. Right? So its status of RL, of uncircumcised, is not just, again, it's not just anatomy, but it's connected to a failure to do a mitzvah. So the difference is, if it's before the eighth day, because if before the eighth day, anatomically, there's no difference between that foreskin based on the eighth day or prior to that. Either way, if you're going to say that that condition is defined as a body without circumcision, is like a ma'os body, disgusting, is removed from carbon and all that, then who cares how old he is? But if you say that the status of Orel is tied to the failure, it's an unperformed mitzvah milah, well then there is no mitzvah milah until day eight. He's absolutely removed from the mitzvah, so it doesn't kick in until he's 8 days old. So if that's the case, then he's not defined as an Orel. Right? What do you guys say to that?
Nice definition. Did you mention before that all non-Jews are considered Arelim?
Yes. I don't know if halachically, but like descriptively.
Wouldn't that be like an issue for the second part of the definition?
Yeah.
The definition?
Yeah. So, it's a good point. So let me bring you another Rashi, which is arguably in line with that line of questioning. So there's a Rashi on the Torah, which says it's in Perek Yud Zayin, it's in Bereishis, by Avram Avinu. Perek Yud Zayin, so it says like this, beginning of Perek Yud Zayin and Rashi, but Chazdi Vayi Avram and Tishim Tesh Hashanah V'Tesh Hashanah, Avram was 99 years old, Vayir Hashem Al Avram, Hashem Pirat Avram, Vayom Eilav. And he said to him, Anikel Shakai, Seichel Fanei Vnei Samet, I'm God, go before me and be complete. Make yourself complete. Ve'etna Brisi Mini Yivena, Chavar Ves Chav Mod Mod. And I'll give you my treaty between me and you, and I'll make you very plentiful. A lot of kids. Ve'yipol Avram Alpanav. And Avram fell on his face. Ve'yidavri Tolkim Le'emar. And Hashem spoke to him, saying, okay, he told him more about the details of the mitzvah of bris. Okay, so why did he fall on his face? Right? So Rashi said, Mimora Hashchina, from the fear of the Shechina, of Hashem's presence. She'ad shelomal, because until he did bris milah, lo hayabo koach lamod, he didn't have the power to stand up. V'ruach HaKodesh nitzeves alav, and the Ruach HaKodesh, Hashem's presence or whatever, Divine Spirit, lifted him up. Or something like that. He stood over him. Okay? V'zehu shenemar v'bilam, and that's what it says by Bilam, no fellow glayinayim, he was fallen down. So it's saying is Avram Avinu, this is before he had the bris milah, and Bilam, before he was a guy, so he didn't have bris milah, or like fallen before Hakadosh Baruch Hu, right? So arguably, it sounds like Bilam was a guy, so he never had the commandment to do bris milah, and Avram, I mean, this is before God really gave him the commandment to do bris milah. Right? I mean, it's not like he wasn't doing the mitzvah. I mean, this is God was just telling it to him. So it would seem to be a question on saying that it's tied in, the idea of Arlus, of being an Orel, and the problem of being an Orel, is based on the mitzvah. Rather, it sounds like intrinsically, a person who doesn't have a bris milah has some sort of a defect, and he's not fit somehow to stand before God. Right? Which is similar to Yudah saying, is like, Chazal say Goyim are considered Arelim, uncircumcised. What do you mean they don't have a mitzvah of milah? So just say they're not aral altogether. Right? So is that a question or no? So by Avram, you could just say, well, God just told him about the mitzvah of milah. So the moment he told him, now he became an aral. Right, the mitzvah of milah, I mean, it's true he didn't finish telling him the whole thing, but I mean, he told him the basic thing. The moment he told him the basic thing, he revealed this idea to him. Now, at that moment, he's uncircumcised. Right? But maybe prior to that, he really wasn't. But I mean, what about by Bilam? Saying Bilam is a guy, he's not subject to it altogether. So maybe you could answer that question. I mean, I'm not sure actually, but you could say, look, given that Bris Milah was given as a mitzvah, or maybe say like this, you could argue like this, prior to the mitzvah of Milah, before Hashem gave the Bris of Milah to Avraham Avinu, you could argue, then there's no such thing as an aral. You wouldn't say that a guy is uncircumcised. There's no mitzvah of Milah altogether, he's not an aral. There is no what? One milo, it's just a part of your body. But now that God came along and revealed this level of humanity that a person could reach, and he said that there's an idea of bris milah, there's an idea of, and then that automatically brings into play an idea of a lack of bris milah, right? And it creates a status of someone who's not, doesn't have a bris milah. Now goyim categorically are removed from this mitzvah, right? So it's like they as a group are a person. So Hashem gave this mitzvah to Jews and not to Goyim. So you could argue like in giving them this mitzvah, the Jews, he rendered the Jews a certain type of a body, a certain type of a person, and he rendered Goyim people who are like removed from it. So like they're not technically an RL because they didn't have the mitzvah of Milah and they're not doing it. But it's like when you compare the type of body or the type of thing which God gave to the Jew, once the Jew is given bris milah, and the guy was deprived of bris milah, so then, like in comparison to the Jew, he's defined as an ara. But that's not like halachically it's defined as an ara. It's more just like in terms of like, you know, talking down against the guy. Describing them in comparison to the Jew. But now if you're talking about a particular Jew, maybe you'll say his status of Arlos, it's like a halachic status of an Aral. Maybe you say that status is contingent upon a failure to perform mitzvah Mila. And that it's not going to kick in when he's a little newborn and there's no, it's not the time of Mila yet. That would be like Avraham Avinu prior to his getting his commandment. Prior to the commandment is not altogether, you say, not arless. But a guy, it's not prior to the commandment, it's like after the commandment already differentiated between the Jew and the guy. But it's like prior to the commandment, or prior to 8 days old, it's not like it differentiated, it's just there's no mitzvah yet. The mitzvah, on the contrary, tells you don't do it yet. Like, for instance, a guy, yeah, no, let's leave it at that. Yeah, what do you say to that? Am I answering your question?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Okay, fine. So, let's get back to our original thing. Okay, so now I'll ask you, what about a person who has a bris, who doesn't get a bris milah because of the fact that he's a hemophiliac? And it's dangerous, right? So Rashi says that that's considered an RL, right? So if you look at Tosus, Tosus Yishanim, right? Tosus Yishanim first. It's shorter. You see, it says on Ayin Amud Aleph. He says Haparik Aral. Aral v'chol ha'tmeim lo yachu b'tshuma. Pirsha kunchus b'chol malchum aral shemesu achu malchus mila. So Rashi learns aral means a guy whose brothers died from mila. V'lo nira. Dim kein einu mitzuva l'molo. Right? Pirsha l'os azma l'fishu anas. Right? The problem is that if his brothers died from mila, then it's not his fault. He's not obligated to do the bris mila. V'havei kemo mila shlovas mana. It should be just like the case of the baby who's less than 8 days old. Maybe less than 8 days old, you'll say, is not an Aral because he's not commanded. Well, then this guy also isn't commanded. Right? V'kasha de v'gemara b'ali Aral katam ha'lo secho b'shemen shal chuma arla shlobez man akva lo ma'akva v'amai lo pashir mas nisan v'kim in the ma'ir shemesa v'machas me'ila imkei ne'en nasu v'kim shenen as arla shlobez manu. So he's saying it's like this, is that the Gemara over there asked, what about this newborn baby? The newborn baby, is he considered an Aral, is he not? So why didn't it prove it from here? Because you see a guy who didn't do Mila because of his brother, so, you know, of danger. You see he's disqualified. So if you see he's disqualified, it should be the same thing as the little baby. L'chein per Shemaine Tam, the Aral, Ratzalom, and Meshumad Larlis. So Rabbeinu Tam learns, he argues on Rashi. And he says that an Aral means someone who purposely denies Mila. He says, I don't want to do Bris Mila. That's who can't eat from the Karban Pesach and all that. But if a guy is not doing it because his brother is, you know, because of hemophilia, then that's not the problem altogether. But, I mean, Rashi argues, right? Rashi argues, right? So Tosus defends Rashi a little bit. If you look at the regular Tosus, he says, "Arel Pierce becomes Meisa Ochs Meila V'Chinera." The Lo Dami L'Arla Shel Bezmana. The Vilayim Gemara. He's not like the case of a newborn baby. Ihave Arla. The Hasam, because over there by an infant newborn baby, Kiyotzi B'Lahav Bar Mila V'Shemakom. No one ever less than 8 days old is included in Mila. Avol Achar Chas. But if he's after 8 days old, Afugav the Ef Shel Lamol Nesakana. Even though the reason why he can't do Mila is because of danger. Have Aral, Kivan Shagiyaz Man, he's considered an Aral since it's the time. Right? And Teda, the Hapashit Levi Gemara, Mitumtum Shein Ochel Vichuma, Arla Shalob Ismana. Hafagav Dein Chiv Likrov Lamel. He says another case, the halacha is a Tumtum. A Tumtum is a person who we skirted the issue last time or whenever, but his genitals are covered over and you can't tell if he's a boy or a girl. So you're not chayiv, he's not obligated to tear open the flesh which covers to see whether he's a boy or a girl. He's not obligated to do that. Right? But the halacha is, such a person can't eat truma. He's defined as like an aral, or as maybe he's an aral. Right? So why? So he says, so why didn't you say, oh, why isn't that a contradiction to the case of the guy who's less than 8 days old? But he's saying, yeah, because the guy who's less than 8 days old, there's no mitzvah altogether. But here, a normal person at this age really is. The time has come. Right. Yeah. So basically, I mean, this is the machlokas. I mean, this we have to explain. But do you say, let's assume that the little baby is not considered an aral. Okay, the little boy baby before 8 days old. Do you say that a person who can't do bris milah because it's dangerous, or he can't do bris milah because you don't know if he's a boy or a girl, do you say that's the same thing? Same thing, he's not considered, that's not a problem. Or do you say, no, that's different. That's different. The guy who's less than 8 days old, that's not considered an aral. But if you're more than 8 days old and you just have a hemophilia problem or whatever, that's still considered an aral. So what's the logic for those two sides? do you consider the hemophiliac, let's just maybe simplify, let's take that case, right? Do you consider the hemophiliac to be considered an RL or not?
Consider him to be what? Sorry?
An RL, a person who's uncircumcised and thereby not allowed to eat the carbon pasach and things like that. Right? If the reason why he's not doing bris milah is because it's dangerous. Definitely, the little baby will say the little baby is not a problem. But the question is, what about this guy? Do you compare him to the little baby who is not obligated in the bris milah? Because you say, look, he's also not obligated. Or do you say, this is different? He's different. He's of age to get bris milah. Just some separate thing. Right, so what's the logic? Could you defend? Could you argue? What's the machlokas contingent upon?
Well, first of all, the issue that you said before, if he has a foreskin, does that immediately disqualify him, irrespective of whether he could not have a bris milah because it was dangerous?
Well,
it doesn't seem that factors in. The, you know, whether it's disgusting or antithetical to being a Jew to have foreskin.
Right. The only thing is that the baby who's under this, for the purposes of this discussion, the baby who's less than 8 days old is not considered, you know, disgusting. Or he's not disqualified, even though he has the foreskin.
Okay, so I missed that. Okay.
So, right, so that's the question, really, is... That's what Rabbeinu Tam's arguing, is that he should be the same thing as the baby guy less than the baby less than 8 days old. Who cares that he has a foreskin? Bottom line is, a baby less than 8 days old is not obligated to do bris milah, so to this guy who's a hemophiliac isn't obligated. Right? So the question is, what's the argument whether or not those are comparable? Does everyone follow what's going on here?
I'm not sure I do totally. I'm sure I don't.
Okay. What we were just discussing, basically, is that do you say that the guy the given is that a little baby who doesn't have a bris milah because he's less than 8 days old definitely is allowed to eat truma or allowed to be anointed with truma. Question is, what about a guy who's a hemophiliac? Is he allowed to or not? Do you compare those two? What would be the logic to say they are comparable or say they're not comparable?
I'm sorry, so when are you obligated? How many days to have the bris?
8 days.
No. 8 days. So if the baby's less than 8 days, well, he's not obligated at that point.
Right. Exactly. So too, Rabbeinu Tam says, a guy who's older than 8 days, but he's a hemophiliac, he's also not obligated. But Rashi says no. For some reason, he says those are different.
Well, because a baby less than 8 days... Well, because a baby less than 8 days old wouldn't have a bris milah anyway, whereas the person who's older than that couldn't have a bris milah only... is kind of an exception to the obligation because he would die if he had it.
Right.
So I see the lack of obligation as a little different. I'm guessing a guy born with no arms has no obligation to put on tefillin,
right?
Or at least not, right? So I think there's a I can't exactly articulate what the significance is of that distinction, but I see it as a distinction because, again, before 8 days, it's not even relevant to have a bris milah.
Right. Yes. Okay. Good. So we want to try to pinpoint a little better what would be the two sides. What's the logic to say for the two sides of the argument? Whereas Tom on the one hand says they're analogous, or Rashi on the other side differentiates them. What does that hinge upon?
Because I'm guessing it's a sin if you don't have a bris milah, correct?
Yeah.
Correct? So I'm guessing, am I right, that if the guy has hemophilia and can't have a bris milah, it's not a sin that he doesn't have it?
Correct.
But there are certain privileges that he can't avail himself of, because despite the reason for why he can't have a bris milah, in this case being a health-related one,
right,
he cannot have that mitzvah.
Right.
And therefore, one of those privileges, so to speak, is eating from the Karban Pesach.
Right.
So, whereas a baby who's less than 8 days old, there truly is no obligation at that point at all. It's not that there's an exception to the obligation. The obligation hasn't even ripened yet.
So I
don't know if that's pinpointing any better.
Okay, that's good. So the first thing is that you're arguing why he should be disqualified.
Yes.
And no would be the other side to say that he shouldn't be. When? Even before 8 days old?
Maybe.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you mentioned that, because I haven't seen this recently, but I saw this a few months ago. There's a machlokas if you do the mila prior to 8 days old, whether it works. Okay? In other words, obviously you can't recircumcise him, but there's a procedure of drawing blood from the region, and it's an argument whether you're obligated to do that or not. So you could say, like what you're saying, is that if you say he's already obligated, it's just that the Torah says wait until the 8th day, maybe you'll say, look, if I do it, so then, look, it works. But if you say you're not even obligated yet, so then you didn't even do anything. Right, that's what you're trying to argue, no?
Kind of. I'm not sure if it plays out in that example, but yeah, along those lines. Yeah.
Right, I understand. I mean, the plain shot, I hear what you're saying. I would argue the plain shot is that there's no chiyuv of mila until the 8th day. You know? Mitzvah isn't chal until the 8th day. But I mean, if you do say that, I hear what you're saying. I don't know. I don't know. It seems to me a chiddush to say that, but I agree. It's a good. If it's true, then it's a good svar. You know, I'm not going that way. But I'm not sure that it's not correct. It might be right. It just to me, it's a chiddush to posit that the chova, the obligation is chal on day one, but you just have to wait. So what do you mean the obligation is chal? It's not chal. It's not chal today. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
But it's an interesting point. I mean, it would be shaykh to, if I'm right though that there's no obligation, that's why I thought of that. Then how could you fulfill it if you do it earlier? I mean, there's simply nothing. So I'm just wondering if maybe that position would say that there is something, you know?
Right.
Yeah, okay. Okay, any other thoughts? Let's assume for the time being, though, that there is an there's no obligation until they have to. But, I mean, I think it is true what Larry pointed out. It's there's no obligation for the baby on day 7 is not quite the same as saying there's no obligation on hemophilia. Right? Because,
I mean, I guess because the hemophilia has a patur.
Yes, an exemption. Right. Patur is even a strong word.
I guess they use honest. I guess.
Right. It's more just like you can't do it. I mean, it's sort of, you call it a patur, but it's like more just that the Torah doesn't obligate you to do milah, to kill yourself. Right. But it's like, it's external. And that's the point. It's like, intrinsically, the guy who's under 7 days old is simply no shaychus, no significance at all to the mitzvah of milah. The mitzvah of milah is nothing. Intrinsically, the mitzvah of milah doesn't fall upon till the 8th day. But here, when a person's 8 days old, there's a mitzvah of milah. He's obligated in milah. It's just that, it's like, intrinsically, his body, his arlos, his state of force, you know, his body obligates in mila. The only thing is that he can't be bound to do that because it would risk his life, and the Torah doesn't demand that you give up your life. So it's like intrinsically, in terms of mitzvahs mila itself, the mitzvahs mila really is false. But it can't have the affect of obligating the person, because the person has to consider other factors, namely, is it going to kill him? And because of those other factors, he's not bound to act. So it's like the chefza, mitzvah's mila, like as a chefza, is chal really. His arlos, his arel, that demands being removed. It's just that the gavra, the person, who the chiv would fall upon, is burdened by other obligations, namely to v'chai b'hem, to guard your life, and therefore it's like mitzvahs mila can't exert the force of obligation upon the gavra because he has other factors, right? So. The question is, if you say that an Arel is a person who's not doing mitzvahs mila, does it mean where the chafza of mitzvahs mila is chal, the obligation of mila is chal, and his, like an unfulfilled obligation of mila, so then once he's 8 days old, the obligation of mila is false? Or do you say it's like it has to be a realized, an actualized obligation of mila, actualized on a gavra? It's like the obligation is like only in potential. It's like there's a potential obligation, but it can't be actualized on the person because of this separate factor. So when you say that an arlus is someone who is only related to mitzvahs mila, right, that's why under 8 days old, since there's no mitzvahs mila, it's not arel, he's not defined as uncircumcised, does it mean relative to the abstract obligation of mitzvah of mila, like the chafza of the mitzvah of the mitzvah mila itself, in the abstract, in which case here it is mitzvah mila. Mitzvah mila itself is chal, false, and therefore you'll say, look, this is an unfulfilled mitzvah mila. Or do you say it has to be an actualized mitzvah mila? It means it's like a gavra, a mitzvah mila, which is not being responded to, where the mitzvah's mila becomes actualized. And an orel is a person to whom the realized, the actualized mitzvah's milah is not being fulfilled. In which case, if his mitzvah's milah can't become realized, the obligation of milah can't be realized because of an external factor, well then that's not an unfulfilled obligation of milah.